that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Morning. Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, and behind the producer's desk, as always, is Weston Brown. Gentlemen, what's going on?
How's it going, Wednesday? Rick? How's it going?
It's pretty good. I feel like today's a pretty good day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I'm mainly thinking about tonight. We have two MLB playoff games. Both should be riveting.
Yeah, I mean, win or go home.
We have week two of the Wednesday Night Wars. Two action-packed hours. How are we going to fit all this on the TVs? We have four programs that we need to be watching all at the same time.
Well, the two baseball games will not be going on simultaneously.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so which one's the night one?
I would imagine the Dodgers with it being in L.A.
Oof. Atlanta comes on at 5, I think.
Yeah, 5 and then 8:30.
Okay, so they got the early game? So, I don't know. I feel like there's pretty good stuff on today to watch. It's a nice day outside. Not much going else otherwise. Feels like a pretty good day.
Got some college football tonight, too. You know that?
No, I did not.
Little Sun Belt.
Playing on a Wednesday.
A little Sun Belt action.
When is the last time that has happened?
I don't know. I feel like they've been doing this a couple years now.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Huh. Where have I been?
I don't know.
Me neither.
But, yeah, you've got Appalachian State and Louisiana Lafayette. The Raging Cajuns tonight.
Oh, wow. Big, big Sun Belt game, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a fifth thing we're going to have to add to the must-watch TV tonight.
The 4-0 Mountaineers and the 4-1 Raging Cajuns.
The Raging Cajuns.
Wow, that actually could be a better game than I'm giving it credit for.
Raging Cajuns are 5-0 against the spread.
Ho-ho.
There is your gambling tip of the day brought to you by Weston Brown.
They're a one-point favorite tonight.
So if you were picking this game, who'd you go with?
Probably Appalachian State.
You just said they were 5-0 against the spread.
I still think Appalachian State will beat them. Is it in Boone?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which one is Boone?
It's Appalachian State.
Okay.
It's just across. It's not too far.
I've been here for 5 years now, and I'm just starting to get my geography down right outside of Knoxville. Finally got Knoxville down. So those other parts, I'm not there yet. But anyway, so there's not a lot of really Tennessee news right now that we haven't already talked about to some degree. That obviously does not mean we're going to find something to talk about. But there's also a bunch of weird stories going on right now. Like, kind of small, kind of unexpected, the Richard Sherman-Baker Mayfield feud is just weird. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, I mean, not really.
Well, you had a guy come out and say that
giving...
he didn't shake his hand, and that's what motivated the team, and then there's clear evidence that they did shake hands.
I mean, does this not seem like typical Richard Sherman to you?
It feels like something that was probably said in the heat of the moment, but I don't know if he backtracked. He went on Pat McAfee's radio show today, and I guess maybe cleared the whole situation.
Today I think I'm ready to start looking ahead to Mississippi State. The past couple, when we've been talking about Georgia,
okay,
for the most part, I think I'm ready to look the next week.
Okay.
Get ready for Mississippi State.
Well, we can certainly do that.
The Bulldogs. Joe Moorhead. Bob Shoup.
Yeah, and so, this was certainly a game where, during the offseason, you know, we looked at as a likely win, but it was still kind of a toss-up. And through all the, you know, insane twists and turns that have really happened this season, still kind of in that same position. Like, I think there's some people who, you know, are kind of talking themselves into, hey, if Tennessee can hang around, then maybe they can even win this game. Where are you just kind of on initial thoughts?
If Tennessee can come out and play like they did in the first half against Georgia, then I like our chances. Now you're going to have a lot of game film on Brian Maurer that Mississippi State can kind of use and prep for. But I'm excited because if the way I'm choosing to look at it is if Maurer can go out and perform that way against Georgia in the first half, top three team, very talented, surely he can do the same thing against Mississippi State, right?
I mean, yeah, that would be
and more.
That would be the expectation, is that, you know, hey, you saw him have that performance of, I believe it was something along the lines of 14 of 28 for 268 or something like that, two touchdowns. If he can do that against the number three team in the country, you know, in his first start ever, mind you. I mean, last year he was playing high school football. Last year he was playing on the bleachers, you know, and then would go home and sleep at mom and dad's house. Now, you know, his first game ever in college, that's what he's doing against Georgia. Yeah, absolutely. The likely expectation is that you would get a little bit stronger performance today, and you can start to, I guess, build on some of the things that you saw last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why everyone is so hopeful and everybody's kind of having a different outlook on the season now, is because he played so well and showed you a little bit of signs of life in that really first quarter and a half on Saturday. And I know the second half was not great. There's nothing spectacular. But, I mean, like I said, it's the number three team in the country. Eventually, their talent is just going to overwhelm you.
Yeah.
That's what happened on Saturday.
And that's what we saw.
But give it a team with comparable talent, I think that we should have a decent shot tomorrow. I do think that Mississippi State is they're a little bit more of a veteran team than we are. A lot of upperclassmen. So I do think that they have an advantage as far as that goes. But as far as just overall talent, I do think the two teams are quite similar.
Let me ask you this, and maybe you're indifferent towards it. Noon game, does that hurt or help Tennessee's chances at home? Or maybe just it is what it is.
I don't know if it helps or hurts. I think it hurts the crowd. I don't know if it necessarily hurts the team starting at noon. But I mean, the crowd is not going to be as amped up. I think you'll have a good turnout, and they'll be loud, but it's not what it's going to be like if it was a night game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it. I think that, you know, you're probably going to see a good amount, right? Because I think that people are going to want to see if, hey, this could be a turning point. You know, that we weren't expecting at all.
Like the, I think the crowd will be fine. Like you said, I think people will show up. I think the student section might be thin, but the student section's been thin all year long.
Have they really?
Yeah, it's there have not been many students coming to the games at all.
Well, I mean, you think about what if we had two noon games so far, and then the night game, or was one of those?
You've had the noon game for Chattanooga, two night games, and a 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Okay, so you can't really. I mean, the noon excuse isn't there, but then again, you know, we've all been there, but. I'm with you, though. Like, I think that even if you have a little bit lesser of a crowd, you know, that doesn't hurt your chances at all. You know, it kind of is what it is. You know, it's a noon game. I think that, you know, hey, that's tougher on Mississippi State than it would be, you know, maybe a 3:30 game where you get to sleep in a little bit more after travel, things like that. But I don't know. Maybe travel isn't that big of a deal. They're not going that far. But I don't know. I think this is a fun game to look forward to right now.
On the flip side, though, I mean, technically it would be an 11 a.m. start for Mississippi State, as they will.
Oh, that's right.
Lose an hour. I don't think an hour makes that much of a difference, as opposed to if it was like if you're going across the country and it's like two or three.
Yeah, like playing at one of those big neutral site games.
Right, but I think it's worth noting that. For their internal clocks, at least it's an 11 a.m. start. But I don't know. I feel hopeful about the game on Saturday.
Well, so let me tell you this. We have been talking a lot about the Tennessee quarterback situation, right, about Maurer, about what role, if any, Garantano has. But we also got to look at Mississippi State's quarterback situation because it's looking up in the air right now. Joe Moorhead came out and he said that they're not going to announce a starter, although he thinks he knows who it is. We'll tell you more about that. We'll go kind of over both those quarterbacks, why they both seem playing time this year. We'll get you up to speed on Mississippi State's offense. Coming up on the other side of the break, if you would like to join the program today, go ahead and give us a call, 865-546-8200, and we'll be right back after this. Ten 18 a.m. back here on the Blitz, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Rick, Brandon, and Weston coming back. And again, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, a lot of the talk so far has been about Tennessee's quarterbacks, but I think the defense isn't really sure what, I guess Tennessee's defense isn't really sure who they're going to see yet for Mississippi State quarterback yet.
Who do they have? Tommy Stevens and who's the other guy?
It is Garrett Schrader.
Garrett Schrader.
So it basically looks something like this.
Sounds like he'd be the quarterback at Mississippi State.
Yeah, a Garrett Schrader.
Yeah.
You should see what he looks like. He's got a giant beard. Mm. Have you ever seen it?
I imagine him to look a lot like the guys that I had ag class with in high school. Let me see. Rick, you knocked over the Truly.
Well, I picked it up quickly, all right? It's not open or anything.
Thankfully.
Look at him.
It wasn't open.
Look at him. He kind of looks like me when I grow my beard out.
Kind of. I mean, maybe if you, like, put on about 50.
This is a headshot, Brandon.
I mean, maybe if you... Still, I'm just saying, maybe if you put on, like, 25 pounds or something.
25? This guy's 220. I think I weigh 190, no, 195.
No, I'm just saying like your face just needs to fill out. I'm not.
Oh, okay. Sure. That makes sense.
But
speaking of facial hair.
But no, he does not look like what I expected. He's too much of a pretty boy.
Yeah. Well, like a country pretty boy, though. You know? Because he's got the huge beard.
I mean, he's from Mississippi.
Doug Dynasty beard.
He's from Mississippi.
Yeah. Speaking of facial hair real quick, also... Super quick sidebar. Oh, here we're gonna have to talk about Weston soon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, just so we know, that's a big tease. You won't want to miss it. Weston's new facial hair. It's incredible. We love it. We absolutely love it. Well, anyways,
it's not new. This is the same facial.
It's new.
It's just enhanced.
It's new. Yeah, okay. So anyways, back to the Mississippi State quarterback thing. So Joe Moorhead says that he's got a pretty good idea of who will start, but he is not going to come out and publicly say who it's going to be. Both Tommy Stevens and Garrett Schrader have had a lot of playing time for Mississippi State this season, with Stevens' injuries often forcing Schrader into action. So Stevens was your starter to begin the year. Schrader had to come in, you know, when I guess Stevens went down.
What happened to Stevens? What did he do?
Lower body injury. That's all I found out so far.
Was he the one that got swirled around like first game of the season like a helicopter? Do you remember
that?
Oh
my gosh, yeah, that was amazing.
Was that Tommy Stevens?
Yeah, I think so. Hmm. I'm sure we can Google that real quick. But so yeah, so Schrader has had to come in replacement, and I'm pulling up their stats right now. Here's about what it looks like. Schrader is so they have about the same number of attempts on the year. Schrader's got 10 more at 68 as compared to Stevens' 58. So these numbers are relatively similar, you know, not counting in the I guess, quality of play, whatever. We're not counting in that. Schrader's sitting at about 59% completion. Stevens is about at 64. Stevens threw 5 touchdowns compared to 2. Schrader threw 2 compared to 1. And that's kind of about it. I think these guys are fairly generic guys. They're both hovering right around 500 yards for however much they've played so far this season. But I think that, you know, I guess the question here is, would you rather play the guy who was the starter, who earned the starting job, or would you rather play the guy that, you know, has been more fresh? He's the one who has been playing. What did they do? They lost last week to Auburn, or they lost their last game to Auburn. They had a bye week last week. Schrader threw for 209 in that.
So Stevens only missed the Auburn game.
No, Stevens played the first 3 games. I think he might have gotten hurt in that K-State game. I'll check in a sec. But Schrader definitely played the Kentucky and the Auburn.
Okay. So Schrader has played their 2 SEC opponents.
Yes, which they've gone 1-1.
Right, and Kentucky's terrible. And they beat Kentucky 28-13, and Auburn just absolutely destroyed them 56-23.
Yeah, they both played in the Kansas State game, so obviously the injury was around then. And that was the helicopter hit.
Let's see. I don't know. I don't know if one quarterback is preferred over the other one. I mean, like you said, you've got the backup, but if Stevens plays, is he a little bit rusty? Is the whatever injury it is, it still nagging on him?
Yeah.
Could he re-injure it? Is he going to be limited in what he can do?
Here's something else worth noting, is that both in the Kentucky and the Auburn game, Garrett Schrader was also their leading rusher. He had 125 yards on the ground against Kentucky, 90 on the ground against Auburn.
No.
He's a scrambler.
I want Tommy Stevens.
You're in on Stevens now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me check.
That's all it took.
Let me check his running ability.
Even if he can run, he's been hurt.
Yeah, so
he's been hurt.
He's not going to really want to. Let's see. So far he's got Tommy Stevens has 26 rushing yards on the season.
Yeah, yeah. Give me Tommy Stevens.
Yeah, I kind of agree, right? I get that. Okay. I'm not an expert on Mississippi State quarterbacks. Let me tell you that right now. Right, so I'm just kind of looking at what we're talking about as we're talking about
it. Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of a gut reaction.
Right, exactly. So, if you're telling me that even though he's the guy that started the season, if he is strictly a pocket passing quarterback who's averaging 1 yard per attempt right now.
Well, I mean, he's only played like one game.
Well, 2.5 games. But still, he...
I thought it was only one.
No.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
2.5.
Two and a half.
Because he got hurt in the third game. That was the helicopter.
Gotcha.
So, okay. If you're telling me that he's obviously, it looks like he's more of a pocket passer, but none of the pocket passer, you know, numbers jumps off the table, you know, in any kind of elite fashion, then I don't know. I guess my gut says I'd rather see that guy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not like shaking in my boots over either one of them.
No,
I'm not terrified by either one. Neither one of them are going to be Jake Fromm or. They're not the best quarterback. Jake Fromm is obviously the best quarterback that you've faced all season, and he might be the best one that you face all year long.
Well, that's probably going to be Tua, right?
Yeah, I mean.
You think Fromm's better than Tua?
I don't know.
No way, right?
I don't know.
I feel like Tua's a lot more dynamic. I feel like he can do a lot more. Jake Fromm is very good at what he does.
I do agree.
I hate that I'm about to do this. I hate that I'm about to do this. I hate it when everyone describes a generic quarterback as Alex Smith. It's like, give the guy a break, all right?
He's a little more than Alex Smith. He sat back there.
Whenever
and
you think of a generic quarterback,
apart.
Everybody always thinks of Alex Smith, right? Probably the most generic name in the NFL as well. But he has a lot more of that game, right, as opposed to, you know, one of these Deshaun Watsons, which, you know, obviously Tua resembles.
Yeah, Tua can run around the field, and he can definitely air the ball out more, and they do, but I think that's more Alabama's receivers as it is to Tua. I mean, give Jake Fromm those same receivers and what does their offense look like? That's just not what they do. That's not what Georgia does. They're going to run the ball down your throat, and if they have to pass, Fromm's going to sit back there and he's going to pick you apart like he did us on Saturday. Alabama, I mean, all of Alabama's wide receivers they're going to be playing in the NFL. Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, the other guy that I can't think of his name right now, but they're all great. They all have great speed, and they're all going to play in the league.
It's amazing for the Alabama quarterbacks, right? Like they either have world-class Heisman contending receivers or world-class Heisman contending / winning running backs.
And sometimes both.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I mean, pretty much every year, in and out. Hey, let me ask you this real quick. Just off the top of your head, and I don't know is a perfectly acceptable answer. Who's winning the Heisman if it was done today?
Done today?
Yeah.
I think if you let me look at his stat line. Jalen Hurts is the name that comes to mind.
Yeah, I feel like that is the only name that really came to mind for me.
He's the odds-on favorite.
He didn't have Oklahoma kind of struggled with Kansas, and I mean they ended up beating him pretty badly, but for what you would expect for Oklahoma and Kansas.
Hey, our teams are going against each other this weekend.
We're not doing this. These are not our teams. You're not a Texas fan, just like I'm not an Oklahoma fan.
It was hard to pretend for Texas even for a while there. Like, it was just kind of, it was nauseating. I just kind of pushed it down, you know?
I feel like you
Texas
were,
fan
I
sucks.
Feel like you were still in it. I feel like you still wanted it.
I am excited for that game. It's going to be awesome.
It's the same time as Tennessee's game.
We got two TVs at the house, luckily.
They got a lot
of TVs at Leaderboard.
I'm going to be at the game.
You won't be able to watch. Although, that's probably not your biggest concern of the day.
I don't know. I think Oklahoma kind of handles that. I don't know if I...
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I... I don't know how good Texas is.
Weston?
Oklahoma's going to...
Who's winning that game?
Oklahoma's going to roll them.
Is two touchdowns considered a roll? I feel like probably, yeah.
I mean,
If you win like 28-14, most people are like, yeah, they probably won pretty handily. Yeah.
I mean, two scores is pretty easy.
I don't know, man. I don't know if they're going to – I feel like it's going to be close.
I feel like Texas – I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to believe.
Well, yeah, I think that the Okie State game definitely hurt. You know, they were unranked at the time. I believe they're ranked now. Is that right?
Well, they just lost to Texas Tech this past Saturday, so probably not anymore.
Right. Well, anyways, that a little bit about Mississippi State's quarterback situation, I guess. After all that, I guess that was about a lot of different quarterback situations there. That's kind of where that conversation turned into, but it is what it is. That is what you can look forward to on Saturday at noon when the Bulldogs come to Neyland Stadium. We will catch a quick break.
These Bulldogs, much more pleasant, much more tolerable than the ones that we just faced.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that just reminded me of what happened last week.
Oh.
You guys went off. That was pretty awesome.
Who went off?
You and Weston.
Oh, on Uggen?
On Bulldogs.
Oh. Oh.
It was cynical. Diabolical.
Oh.
More of the Blitz after this. You know what I respect about our good friend Chance Collins?
What's that?
Is that when he goes camping, like he fully admits that he's living the glamping life. You know, there's a lot of people out there who will go, you know, who are kind of fake campers, right? They say they love, you know, camping outdoors, and you know they really don't go that often, or you know it's kind of you're not actually sleeping in the tent and stuff, right? A lot of people like to say that. Chance is like, hey, I love camping, like I just do it in the trailer, like I have all my amenities and stuff, but I just like being out there, like I fully respect that about him.
Yeah, I mean.
Afraid to admit.
Yeah, good for Chance. I like roughing it at least once a year.
Okay. Like, yeah, absolutely.
In the tent, sleeping bag.
Sure. I've only done it one time since I've been here in Tennessee, which is kind of crazy because I did it a lot in high school, but like the one time I did it, it was so miserably cold that I've been like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. That was too cold.
You gotta go.
It was freezing.
If you're gonna do it, you gotta go like right now. Now
I think this is when we went, but like it was so high up, it didn't matter. It was freezing.
No, well then you gotta go earlier.
I mean, I like it
in the summer.
Like I'll also admit, like I was kind of a wimp. You know, like I didn't want to be out there in the cold. I don't like the cold weather at all.
I mean, did you wear appropriate clothing?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was decked. Still cold. But anyways, so Chance puts out a tweet yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of an update on his trip so far.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He says, my girlfriend's daughter just broke our TV as we are camping. Jesus. And then a gif of the guy walking into the apartment with the pizza and everything's on fire.
Poor Chance.
I know. You really feel for him at a time like this.
I mean, I'll say it.
Uh-oh.
I'll say it.
Okay.
Maybe you shouldn't bring your TV when you're camping.
Well, okay. Wait, what if it's just attached to the camper? There are some that are like that. And he also said he wanted to watch sports, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
He's fully admitted that, you know, he'll go on the road, but he's going to take home with him.
Fair enough.
You know, so we send our thoughts and our prayers to Chance without his TV as he is camping for the rest of his vacation.
That sucks. I wonder, like, he says broken. I wonder if it's, like, broken.
I wonder if it just got, like, smashed.
Like, I mean, it may still work, but there's like it's like cracked up in the corner, like maybe it was hit with like a stick or something. I don't know.
I wonder how it happened.
I don't know. These are all questions that we need answered.
Well, we'll get answers.
I mean, do you think
upon his arrival?
Like, do you think it's just completely broken? Like, it doesn't work at all?
Yeah.
Or do you think they're?
No, I think it's done. I think it's done. I think the severity of the GIF indicates everything you need to know. Totally broken. Totally broken.
I mean, there is a little, I mean, exaggeration.
I mean, can't you just hear him reading out that tweet and just being like stewing mad? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's shattered. That's where I'm putting my money.
Yeah, you may be right.
And while we're talking about people on the show.
Yeah, go ahead and get it over with now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Weston?
Yes.
This is easily becoming my favorite parts of the day because they're so much fun. Tell the people what is new in Weston Brown's life.
Yesterday, I dyed my facial hair. So let's go back. Just a minute. I feel like I've always...
Didn't even give us a chance to respond. Went right into the story. I like it.
I feel like I've always been able to grow a good mustache, but I have a patchy beard. And so I was reading around, and I did all the tricks, you know, just let it grow out for as long as you can, then trim it. And one thing said dye it, and it'll make it look fuller.
What do you mean a thing? Did you go out researching this?
I mean, Google.
But like that, like did you just see it on like a pop-up ad and you're like,
huh, no,
okay, no. That works. Or were you like, you know what, it is time for me to have a full beard?
No,
I'm sick of not having this.
Weston's,
you know what?
He's sitting at home. He's got this bull. He's got this big boar. He's like, how to make my beard fuller?
He has all these other ones that are scratched off with big red permanent marker, and you know what it's all for? It's all to look a little more credible the next time he tries to get an interview with Kelly Jolly Harper in the middle of a football game. You think if you had this new dyed beard, you would have gotten it?
No.
No. You mean either.
Anyway, continue.
So I think I saw it on WikiHow.
What?
Wait, whoa. We all use WikiHow. I'm with you there. Whoever says they don't use WikiHow, you're not. No, yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's a reliable source when you got to look up a quick problem. I'm with you. Continue.
Yeah, some cartoon dude was putting on dye in the mirror.
Sounds about right.
So I go to Walmart. I've actually had it for a while. I've just not used it. The Just for Men. And I probably should have went dark brown, but I got black.
Why?
Well, I thought...
Weston, your hair is dark brown.
I thought maybe if I go one shade past that, it might make it look better. And there was one past that as well. There was dark black or jet black. I didn't go that far.
Well, Weston, no, that would have been ridiculous.
What happens when you go to the spray tan salon and you have the shade that you want and you go one shade darker thinking that, you know, it'll look fine in the end. I feel like a lot of the times you're like, you know what? That was too much.
Actually, that's a higher package at the spray tan place. I only have light and medium in my package.
Oh, okay. So he's never run into that problem.
Yeah, he's only a light and medium guy.
Okay. Well, are you glad you did it? Do you regret it? You should have done what I said, and you should have just shaved the beard and gone dyed mustache.
I might try that eventually. I don't hate it.
When you just totally give up hope.
Like, I don't think if you had never seen me before today, would you notice it?
No.
Then I think it worked. Case closed. It worked.
He makes a fair point. Hey, at some point, I don't know, this has to be organic, right? It can't just be, you know, we're putting together something on the fly. But at some point, a bet payoff should be, You know, like you got to dye your beard blonde for like 2 weeks or something like that. Like all three of us could do it as well. Like that'd be a pretty good one.
I feel like it'd be hard to dye it blonde. Like,
I feel like you could probably do it, right?
I don't know. I mean, you could do it. You'd look ridiculous.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
Maybe a good bet payoff. I don't want to eat any more spicy foods. Not that there's any bets coming up.
That's your punishment. Spicy foods.
You can get blonde beard dye.
865-546-8200 if you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. Take a quick break right here. When we come back, close that hour one. Roger, hold right there. Come to you on the other side. You'll listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. is our number if you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. Let's go there now. Get a call from Roger. How's it going this morning, Rog?
It's going fine, Brandon, and Rick too. Going good. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good, Rog.
Good morning.
Yeah, good to talk to y'all. I just wanted to ask y'all two questions for y'all. First question is, I just wanted to ask you, after watching the game Saturday night, do y'all feel better about the team, about for moving forward for the rest of this, not the whole rest of that, this rest of, I guess, for this coming weekend? And also, do y'all, first question about the, you feel better about what y'all saw moving forward? And also, would you continue to play Brian if he that's the way he done? So that's my question to y'all, both about that.
Yeah, Roger, your first question, yes, I am excited and looking forward to the game on Saturday and really the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think that that the way that you played in the first half on Saturday against Georgia gave a lot of fans hope that they could kind of compete and maybe win a few of these games against teams that are kind of similar in talent, like Mississippi State and South Carolina and Kentucky and Vanderbilt, teams like that. And your second part of the question, if I were Pruitt, I would continue to play Maurer. I think he gives you the best chance to win. I'll say that as someone who's not seen him practice, but just judging from what I've seen in game, I would continue to roll with Brian Maurer.
I'm with you, Brandon, with that one. I'm with you with that. How about you, Rick? You feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we talked about yesterday was, for a lot of this season so far, you've kind of just been dragging your feet through the week leading up into the games, right? Because, you know, we never saw any progression from Jarrett Garantano. And in fact, we saw a lot of regression in places that we really didn't expect to see regression in. And so you kind of just kind of muddied yourself along throughout these weeks. To me, now that we got Maurer in, you know, now that we got a new face in for that position, it gives you a lot of hope for next week.
Yeah. I feel better, a little better than I did. Hopefully they can win. Hopefully they can get them. Hopefully they can build on this. And what would you do, Brandon, Rick, for the game plan for if you did see him play? What kind of for the game plan for the play calling? Would you try to open? Would you try to? How would you handle that for the open for the calm place for him? How would you handle that?
I think you do the same thing that you did against Georgia. I'd kind of roll with that same game plan as far as what plays you call offensively. I mean, he – and the way I see it is if he can do it against Georgia, he can do it against Mississippi State, right? Should be able to. Georgia's a lot better team. And as far as defensively, I mean, you've got to somehow find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. I don't care who the quarterback is, if it's Jake Fromm or not. If you can't get pressure on him, they have all day to sit back there and throw. Then they're going to pick you apart. So Tennessee has to, if Tennessee's going to win on Saturday, I think they're going to have to find some way, whether that's sending an extra guy, or if somehow they can get to the quarterback with just their defensive front. You've got to find some way to get pressure on whoever the quarterback is for Mississippi State on Saturday. You got to find some way to make them uncomfortable back there. Appreciate the call, Roger. Always good to hear from you, buddy. 865-546-8200 is our number if you're going to get on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Rick, as kind of Roger's second question there, would you do anything different? If you're this coaching staff, as far as the way that you would call plays against Mississippi State, for as far at least offensively,
for Maurer. Kind of for Maurer,
I don't know
because I think that obviously Mississippi State presents a completely different defense than Georgia does. But the one thing that I wouldn't do is I wouldn't get progressively more conservative. Your run game has been there the entire year, you know, so don't ever stray away from that.
Well, I feel like they have, and that's one thing that I would do differently is I would be sure to give Ty Chandler the ball more.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm totally with you there. In regards to Maurer, you know, I guess don't be more conservative,
right.
But yeah, your run game has been there. Like the backs have been good. Eric Gray has been, you know, a great addition to this team so far this year. Keep feeding them, but in terms of Maurer, just don't get conservative, right? You know, what do you have to lose at this point? Go out there and go for some big plays. Keep the defense honest.
Yeah, I mean, he threw across the middle a lot. I liked seeing that. Wasn't afraid to throw the ball down the field. It's going to do it for Hour 1. Stay tuned. Hour 2 up next. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.